Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome into Burns Postgame Show.
Cole Reagans dials up a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. He sets a new career high with 12 strikeouts.
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can, too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Swinging a chopper left side. Garcia's got it with a dive. Spins, throws, in time!
This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's your Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
Yeah, all right, good afternoon. Royals lose 1-0. They drop the series to the first place Detroit Tigers, and I'll be honest, man, there is so much to say after this one, so much to discuss. I'm hoping that you're interested in doing it, because I think we could pick each other up. I think we both need it. But let me give you the phone number right out of the gate. Text line as well. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. 913-586-7965. So much to touch on. Sure, there's always positives, and obviously the positive tonight or this afternoon is Chris Bubich. And if that's what you want to do, if you want to celebrate Bubich, I'm more than happy to do so. 7 innings of one-run baseball, the 27-year-old is on another level right now. A 1.43 ERA through his first 12 starts. Nobody's ever done that in this franchise's history. Zach Greinke's done almost everything and did almost everything in that 2009 season, but he did not put up an ERA that low. So if you want to celebrate Chris Bubich, I'm more than happy to do that. If you want to talk big picture with Chris Bubich, now, are you now a fan of breaking him off a long-term extension? Do you want to wait until this upcoming offseason? Do you want to trade him this upcoming offseason? Are you willing to let Chris Bubich walk for nothing at the end of 2026? So we could dive into that. Obviously, we can continue to lament the offense. Royals hitters shut out for the sixth time this season. Now, we've been doing that now for weeks. If you want to continue doing it, if you haven't had an opportunity to scream about the offense, feel free. Phone lines are open again, 913-586-7965. Man, anytime you lose a one-run game, it's going to hurt. Royals now 12-8 in one-run games this season. Yeah, a 1-0 loss is always going to hurt, especially when this franchise, the Kansas City Royals, when this franchise loses because the other team's defense and base running was better. Yeah, that's going to take a few hours to get over. Thankfully, the boys have an off day tomorrow. Open up a series in St. Louis on Tuesday night. Hopefully Cole Reagans is back for the finale of that one. You know, we could talk about Salvi's assumption that Zach McKinstry saw that ball in the dirt, saw that ball carom to the near the Royals dugout. We could talk about the future Hall of Famer making an assumption that most Hall of Famers don't, or when they do, it certainly doesn't come back to bite them as much as it did tonight. Now, that wild pitch leads to the only run of the game, and that's why the Royals fall just short of doing what they needed to do, and that is win the series. If you want to talk about the division title hopes, I'm fine with that. Royals now 2-5 this season against Detroit. 2-5 with 6 to play. These two teams will meet again 6 times in a 10-day span at the end of August. If the Royals are going to win the season series, they got to go 5-1 in those 6 games. That's a tall task. The stated goal at the beginning of the year by everybody in this organization is win the World Series, get further than you did a season ago, and that all begins by winning the American League Central. Boy, that's going to be difficult. If Detroit is the impediment to get to the top, winning this division is going to be real tough. Got to win this series at home. If you're a division title winner, you take care of home field advantage, especially against a team that sits atop the American League Central like Detroit did and continues to do. So I hate to say it, but if you're watching Tigers games up until the end of August, you don't wish for injury, but it certainly feels as if injury may be the only way in which the Royals are able to leapfrog Motown in the division. Again, 913-586-7965. I came into this series with 2 goals. Win the series, 1. But if you don't do that, you better not get punked. You better not get embarrassed. It better not be abundantly clear that Detroit's on another level than you. 3 games in, series now over. Yeah, the Tigers took 2 of 3. I'm not trying to tell you to take solace in this fact, but no, they were not punked. They weren't embarrassed, at least as far as I saw it. No, not embarrassed. So there's plenty to touch on. We could talk about Jack Caglione. Royals now head to St. Louis for the 1 of 3 beginning Tuesday night, and then they play 3 on the south side of Chicago beginning on Friday. They'll take Monday off again next week and then return with the Yankees and the A's. A 6-game homestand. Could Jack Caglione debut on the next homestand here at Kauffman Stadium? Phone number one more time, 913-586-7965. All right, let's go to you. Let's hear what you have to say after this. A 1-0 loss to the first-place Tigers, dropping the Royals' record back to 2 games above 500, a mark of 31-29. Let's go to Cody in Blue Springs. Cody, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to make a few points. It'd actually be nice to see Jack come up against the White Sox. Why not get him going against a team that he can have success against? Then how electric would it be for him to play against the Yankees at home? So, I mean, sometimes confidence can go a long way, and I think if they brought him up against the White Sox, what better team to do it?
They got some pretty good pitching. I don't know if you remember their pitching staff. They had some dudes.
Well, and then another thing, I mean, I want to kind of talk about – I mean, the Royals do need another outfielder, whether it's trading Lugo at the deadline. I mean, the option next year, I mean, that's a lot of money. It's like $16, $17 million. And they're kind of getting at the point with Bubic, it's kind of like you got to sign him or trade him. I mean, when you look at like what the Red Sox gave up for Crochet last year, I know he had one more year of service, but the Royals can still get 2 prospects and a good flyer for Bubic. I mean, it just really depends if you want to spend the $20 million a year on him or not. I mean, the Royals are in a good position with the assets they have, but they definitely need another outfielder with control. But my whole thing is I would like to see Jack against the White Sox. I mean, they're not going to play him again for a while. So, I mean, why not get him like a soft landing and pad some stats, and then it would be electric for the Yankees.
Thank you very much for the phone call. Nice hearing from you, Cody. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7965. I understand the point. The White Sox suck, so let's have Jack debut against a sucky team. Yeah, it's a bad team. I don't think it's a horrible pitching staff. Certainly not one that I can guarantee success for Caglione. I think, you know, we talk about Salvi making an assumption earlier. Now, if Cags was still a pitcher, sure, yeah, I'm with you. Go carve up that White Sox offense. That's where they really stink. But if you remember the White Sox, when they came to Kauffman Stadium, their rotation was fantastic. It was their idiotic defense and base running and lack of execution out of the bullpen. Cody, I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. Roger on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, that game had me on the edge of my seat the whole game. That lineup of ours was popping out more singles than Wendy's. Two corner outfielders we had to start the season. One's a $2.5 million broken toy down there in Omaha right now. The other, the pair of jeans with a hole in its pocket where $5 million fell out of it in right field. I got all the faith in the world that the Royals top brass brings us some winners. Vern, did you ever watch or read the book The Bronx is Burning about the 77 Yankees?
I watched plenty of documentaries about that team and that time, but no, didn't read because I'm not that bright.
Well, it's really good. I didn't know if you had or you hadn't. That's neither here nor there. But on June 18th of that year, Reggie Jackson slow-poked a pop fly, let it drop in front of him, and the guy on the Red Sox in a nationally televised game on June 18th took second base, and Billy Martin went out there and yanked him out in the middle of an inning on national TV.
And now, there was a lot that went into that. You know, this wasn't just a one-off.
Right. It really wasn't for that, Vern. He was alienating his teammates is basically why Billy did that. But to go – my point being, and I'll get it quick because you'll probably have a lot of callers today. My point being, the month of June – you go from being the bus station to a team. That's when your team is really formed in the major leagues, I think, personally, and just from some, you know, good reads over the years. Reggie versus the Royals in the ALCS that year, 1-for-14, and Billy pinch hit him in game 5, and he hit a heck of a single to get the game to 3-2, and they eventually won game 5 against the Royals. That's what got me interested. I was just looking at the 77 and 78 Royals. So he goes on in the World Series against the Dodgers in game 6. 3 straight pitches, 3 home runs. Mr. October was born. Gosh, you know, I'm sitting there, and it just gives me chills because, boy, I'm just wanting Salvi to do so good. Salvi, do it for yourself. You've done enough for the fans. Be like Reggie a little bit, self-centered. Do it for yourself. Start hitting that ball for yourself, buddy. So I'm rooting for Salvi now, bud, the rest of the way. And I really do think the Royals are going to form a good team this month. So we just got to hang in there with them. And they're right in it. The Yankees on June 18th, when Reggie got yanked on national TV in the middle of a game, were 36-28. That was their record at that point. They finished the year, I believe, Vern, 162. 100 wins, 62 losses, and won it all. So just a point of reference, but this is the month we make a team out of these guys. So let's hang in there and let's go, Royals. Thanks, Vern. Love your show. You know that.
Yeah, well, you always make the show better, Raj. I appreciate it, buddy. Salvi today, 3-for-4, his third 3-hit game of the season. Salvi's now 4 base hits away from cracking baseball's top 25 all-time by base hits for a catcher. 3 Royals had multiple hits today. Salvi, Vinny, and John Rave. Shoot, John Rave almost had 3 hits, but again, that Tigers defense. Detroit's defense, Detroit's base running, you can say, was the difference in this game. Now, that play that Will Vess made on A hard ground ball off of what, his leg? Tipped off his glove and then banks off his leg. And John Rave almost started off that ninth inning with a leadoff single, but a very nice, cool, calm, collected play by Tigers reliever Will Vest records the 25th out. Four pitches later, game was over. Royals lose 1-0. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. Royals lose 1-0. They go 1-for-4 today with runners in scoring position, and those opportunities early, you hoped it wouldn't come back to bite you, right? Bases loaded, two outs in the first. John Rave strikes out looking at a slider. Two on with one out in the third inning. Drew Waters grounds into an inning-ending 3-6-1 double play again. That Tigers defense. Leadoff man on in the fourth inning, but John Rave is caught stealing. I'm all about the aggressiveness on the base paths, especially when you're struggling to score as mightily as this team has been. A two-out double from Bobby Witt Jr. in the fifth. Vinny Pasquantino hits it hard to the right side, but grounds out to end the threat. And you dive a little bit deeper into that Vinny Pasquantino at bat with Bobby on second and two outs, you'll see that he was ripped off on that strike two call. That check swing. Now, Vinny held his swing back. That should have been a 1-1 count. Who knows if anything turns out differently. But the Royals had opportunities. I'm certainly not going to crush John Rave for not coming through there in the first, or Waters in the third, or even Vinny in the fifth. That's a pretty tough battle there with the outstanding left-handed reliever, Tyler Holton. So, yeah, the offense has stunk this season. But I have a tough time getting too upset about this performance today from the offense. It's not as if Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, the guys that I've harped on so much of late, it's not as if they left a small village out there on the base paths. Vinny went 0-for-1 with the runner in scoring position. Bob never had an opportunity. Salvi never had an opportunity. Tough loss, especially when that loss is saddled on Chris Bubich. Seven innings of one-run baseball, and he takes the loss. Well, the least that we can do is let Bubich know that he is indeed tonight's Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier. They've been doing it since 1958, and you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Bubich lowers his ERA to 1.43. That's the best in Major League Baseball. He has the fifth most innings pitched in Major League Baseball and the 10th most strikeouts in Major League Baseball. And yet, I just looked at the updated odds. There are still five different American League pitchers that have better odds of winning the American League Cy Young Award. Tarek Skubal, I can understand. Max Fried, okay. New York. Hunter Brown. Jacob DeGrom. Garrett Crochet. All right. Maybe that's just because Bubich isn't well known, so why would anybody bet on Chris Bubich outside of Kansas City? Or maybe that's the wise guys telling you that we don't believe Bubich can do this another 12 times. We don't believe that Bubich is going to throw 190-plus innings like he's currently pacing to do. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Jackie. Was one of the 24,000 in the building today. Jackie, go ahead.
Hey, Vern, what's up? It's Jackie. I just come out walking out of the stadium. But can we talk about how old John Rave here? I mean, this guy couldn't hit nothing if he had a 2x4. Let's get Caglione up and to swap jerseys with him. I can't stand this John Rave guy. Like, what's his deal? I mean,
that's a weird take. I appreciate the phone call. Well, I don't know how much I appreciate it. It's a weird take for a guy that darn near just had a three-hit day. I'm with you on Jack Caglione, and like I mentioned, you might see him on the upcoming homestand. But to drive over John Rave in that fashion is stupid. Let's go to Mitch in Overland Park. Mitch, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking the call, Bird. Great show, as always. Always try to see the glass half full. and the fact that we beat probably the best pitcher in baseball in this series is certainly a feather in the cap. It's frustrating. And sometimes it's, you know, hard luck hitting the ball at people. At least we're hitting the ball hard. Last year, Salvi and Vinny were the difference makers with the RBIs and the runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. I keep hoping that they will heat up. It seems like they're starting to. I know they both had injuries. Not as an excuse, but, you know, it takes a while to come back from that. I would really like to see them not trade Bubic, but, you know, wouldn't surprise me because they need some pop. I think if we have a June where we really don't hit a lot, I think they're going to have to bring up Tags at the All-Star break. And one little thing, I know they don't want to overwhelm him or put too high expectations on him, but I know during a rehab stint, I know it's only one at bat, but he got a hit off Clayton Kershaw, a Hall of Famer, which says a little bit about lefty on lefty. But I'm still watching. I'm still hoping. One thing I did want to point out, and I think everybody realizes this, and you really can't compare teams, but watching the highlights of during Moose's retirement, one thing I think we're missing is the fire. I love Lofton. He's got the fire. I think it's contagious. But when you look at that team that won the World Series, Moose and Hosmer, and Escobar and Wade Davis, they had the fire. I don't see a ton
of
that.
Talent.
A little more wouldn't hurt. And we'll just keep hoping for the best.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Mitch. I understand your point about the fire, you know. I think it's tough to see fire from a team. It's the same way that after a team is shut out, normally the phone lines are flooded with fans pointing out the fact that the team looked lifeless, right? Boy, there was no energy out there today. They looked flat, Vern. I always hear that when the Royals are shut out. So I think some of that is playing into your diagnosis of a lack of fire. Especially when through the first 60 games of the season, this is still the lowest scoring offense in franchise history. 194 runs in 60 games. The previous franchise low was 204 runs in the first ever year of Royals baseball, 1969. So they're 10 runs off the pace of the worst scoring offense in team history. So when they're not scoring, yeah, I could understand why you feel as if they're lacking fire, lacking the energy that you remember from that 2015 team. Let's also remember that that was a world championship team in 2015, like the best. Dominated from game one until they were celebrating at Citi Field. They were champs. This team's two games above 500 with the worst offense in franchise history. Or the worst run-scoring offense in franchise history. Everyone in that 2015 starting lineup in the World Series, every one of them were All-Stars in their careers. Eske, Zobrist, Kane, Haas, Morales, Salvi, Gordo, even Alex Rios, all 9-year starters were All-Stars. You got Salvi and Bobby. So, yeah, you know what? You even prefaced your point by saying it's unfair to compare teams, so yeah, I'll give you a break. It's always nice hearing from you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mitch. 913-586-7965. Royals have now dropped 8 straight games as favorites here at Kauffman Stadium. 8 straight losses as home favorites. How about that? My game notes are brought to you by Jay Southlanteau. Be in the know and call Jay's Southlanteau. Let's go to Owen in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show. Owen, go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I was just thinking about, like, what do you see Mikel's contract coming up with? Just a one-year extension, only making $800K. Do you see him staying in Kansas City? I know this is a long ways away, but I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, he's not a free agent for another 5 years.
Oh, really?
That's what they have it listed at. That seems surprising. No, I would say it's probably another, because he hasn't even gone to arbitration yet, so I believe he still has at least three more years of team control.
Okay.
They got him down for 4 years of arbitration on Fangraphs. You at least have him. Let's just say we know he's under team control in 26, 27, and 28. So there's not necessarily a rush to sign him unless he's in a rush to sign a contract. And then, yeah, I could put one together quickly, but it's got to benefit the Royals, right? He would have to give a little bit to get that type of security, because what you're talking about is a 4 or 5 year deal. You eat up the arbitration, maybe grab an extra year or two of his free agency, you lock him up until he's about 30, and then if he so chooses, he could go to free agency. That's what I would do, you know, a 4 or 5 year deal, but a 10, 11, a long-term one, I don't know if I've seen enough to do that. Thanks for the phone call, Owen. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Fangraphs and Baseball Reference. They both have him as a free agent in 2030. I guess I could. When did he? Yeah. Either way, you know, you have him for another 3 years, maybe another 4 years. But yeah, if you can get yourself some cost certainty, get those numbers in pen. Sure. Now, I'll eat up those arbitration years on Mike Cal, so long as you believe in the person. Meaning, you give him money that the person's not going to change. Mike Cal Garcia's a ball player. Give him all the money you want. I don't think that's going to change. He's still going to love the game, want to play the game, want to be he's a winner as well. He's a competitor. He's a winner. He's a ball player. How many of those free agent years would he be willing to forego? That's the conversation. So long as you believe in the player, and, I mean, the guy can do it all. He's a 5-tool talent that's only going to get bigger and stronger. So if you believe in the player, you believe in the person. I don't know how much I'm sticking my neck out there if I'm the Royals, though. Again, we're talking 2029, 2030 is when we really need to make this decision. Now, let's say 2028. So, you know, this offseason, 2 years from now, then those talks can really start heating up. Unless Mike Kell's knocking on the door saying, hey, man, I would love some security. Me and my family would love some security. Maybe. Maybe not. Owen, I appreciate the phone call. Mike Hell, if you missed it, scratched from today's starting lineup because of right thumb soreness. So an off day tomorrow, and hopefully you get, well, the hottest hitter on this team back in the lineup for the first of three in St. Louis. That starts up Tuesday night. It's a 6:45 first pitch as Michael Lorenzen takes the hill for the good guys. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Royals dropped the finale to the Tigers, 1-0, the final score. We'll get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
The 2-2 popped up. Right side, Pasquantino hustles down the line, raves over from right. He's there and makes the catch, and the inning is over. Another gem for Chris Bubich. He twirls 7 innings of one-run ball and lowers his major league-leading ERA again. It plummets from 145 to 143. And he receives another ovation at Kauffman Stadium.
Jake Eisenberg on the call, last heard here on 96.5 The Fan. Chris Bubich's fifth start this season of at least 7 innings with 1 earned run or fewer allowed matches Max Fried for the most such starts in Major League Baseball. Unfortunately, 7 innings of 1 run baseball, not enough to pick up the win for Bubic. Not even enough to get a no decision. No, he's saddled with the loss. Royals lose 1-0. They drop the series to the first place Detroit Tigers. Jake mentions Bubic's Major League best ERA of 1.43. It's the third lowest ERA through 12 starts by an American League pitcher in the wild card era. It dates back to 1995. You'll recognize the two pitchers that have put up a better ERA. Future Hall of Famer Justin Verlander in 2018 when he was the runner-up for the Cy Young Award. And then Pedro Martinez in 2000 when he was the best pitcher on the planet. That's it. Those are the only two American League hurlers since the wild card started that have posted a better ERA than Chris Bubic. Wow. The Royals now have 30 quality starts in 60 games this season, led by Bubic and his 9. Nobody in Major League Baseball has more quality starts than Chris Bubic. We'll hear from the Royals lefty coming up in a moment, but first, Tony was one of the 24,000 in the building today. Tony, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking the call. See you at the game often. I go to a lot of games. I'm not in favor of bringing Cags up right away. To your point, all season long, we don't want him to be the savior. We want him to be a compliment. And right now, he would just be the savior. And I don't know if one person can do that, one bat. He needs more help around him, and a little more seasoning in the minor leagues can't hurt. Also, I wanted to get your thoughts about whether this team is, well, maybe last year's team was playing over their abilities, and now they're playing up to their abilities, and let's get your thoughts on those two comments.
Sure. Appreciate it, Tony. Always nice hearing from you. Always nice seeing you out here at the ballpark. Now, yeah, I agree with your point. And I've said it since spring, right? Jack Caglione, I want him viewed as a weapon, not the savior. We're now to a point that no matter when he debuts, even if the Royals win 30 straight games, there's going to be an immense amount of pressure on the young man. And not just from Royals fans. The entire hype train that Major League Baseball has, however large it is, make your jokes now. But the full force of the Major League Baseball hype train is behind Jack Caglione, and for good reason. He can hit a baseball further and harder than anybody on the planet. He's huge, and he's good looking. I understand why they're going to have Jack Caglione quickly as a face of the Royals, face of Major League Baseball. Cags, by the way, hitting third in right field tonight. Storm Chasers get after it starting at 5:05. Rich Hill, the 45-year-old, makes his Storm Chasers debut. I want him viewed as a weapon and not the savior. But who's to say that this offense can't get going on this upcoming road trip? And when I say this offense gets going, I don't know if this offense, as currently constructed, is ever going to be one of the best. So when I say gets going, I'm talking Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby. I'm talking about the big bats that, to your second question, yeah, maybe overshot their abilities last season, right? As Herculean as Vinny and Salvi were last year with runners in scoring position, you had to assume that those numbers would regress slightly. Salvi's getting older, and again, Vinny hit .360 last year with runners in scoring position, was one of the 15 highest OPSs in Major League Baseball, and if you want to whittle that down even more, man in scoring position with two outs, Vinny was one of the 5 best hitters on the planet, and he was surrounded by Hall of Famers. It was like him and Soto and Harper and Ramirez and Aaron Judge, of course. Do I think that they played over their abilities last season? With runners in scoring position, yes. As a team, no. The bullpen wasn't good last year. The offense was middle of the road last year. The rotation was outstanding. Did Reagans, Waka, Lugo perform over their abilities last year? No, because, at least in my opinion, that's who Reagans is. That's who Waka continues to be. Okay, yeah, maybe Lugo isn't the second best pitcher in the American League like he was last year. Maybe there's some regression there. But Bubic is picking him up. Cameron's picking him up. Lorenzen is picking him up. And offensively, the regression when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position, unfortunately, is not being picked up. It's an entire team collapse. They, following today's 1-for-4 performance with runners in scoring position, the Royals, as a team, have a 600 OPS in those spots. That's the lowest in Major League Baseball. So, as far as Cags, yeah, I'm with you. I don't want him to be viewed as a savior. And by this time next week, maybe he won't. Again, no matter what, there's going to be hype. There's going to be huge expectations. But when you look at this offense, how good can they be? How good can an offense of India, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, Michael and Drew and Rave and Waters and Massey, where's the extra base power? So we can sit around and continue to wait for MJ and Renfro and Massey, but I don't think those guys are showing up. MJ's in Omaha. Renfro's taking care of his kids. And Massey's taking another 0-for-4 in the 8th spot in the lineup. So I agree, he can't be viewed as the savior. But the only way the offense is going to get to a place where you feel better about him entering that lineup is if Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi get going. And that can certainly happen in a week's time. In my opinion, it can. 3 in St. Louis, 3 in Chicago. No reason why Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby can't get red hot. Bobby today picks up his Major League best 22nd double. He's top 10 in the sport in extra base hits as well. And to the second question of did they play over their abilities, only in that one category do I believe they did. Are they playing under their abilities this year? In that one aspect, I believe they are. Again, to me, it all comes down to hitting with runners in scoring position. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Gianni, one of the 24,000 in the building as well. Gianni, go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. It's good to talk with you.
Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I wasn't initially planning on calling in until the one caller tried taking a dump on Rave.
Yeah, what was that?
I just want to say between Waters, Lofton, Rave, those guys are really showing hustle.
They're doing their job. Yeah.
I think they're doing great.
Right.
I like seeing guys run through first base, you know.
Yep.
Just wanted to say, you know, none of that's needed. I think they're doing great.
They are.
And then one bit I did want to say is I don't know, with that stolen base on that wild pitch, I don't know if Salvi just kind of forgot for a quick second that somebody was on third, but I kind of hate to see the captain, a veteran, you know, maybe not be as assertive in that moment. I understand it sometimes happens. Luckily, he was really good on the bag or at the plate, and he did really well there. And the only question I kind of want your opinion on, do you think – it's because of injuries and just kind of some of the designated hitting spots that India has been getting that has allowed Massey to kind of stay around as long as he has? Because, I mean, he didn't even show much hustle today. And I think the time clock is officially ticking on Massey. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, hang on real quick.
Yeah.
I need you to, yeah. So the question you're asking is why, basically, why is Massey still around, right?
Yeah, do you feel like it's because of the injuries that we've had in the infield that the gods of baseball have kind of let his time run a little longer?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. But I again, thanks for the phone call. I'm going to go back to what I was just talking about, the lack of power on this team. You've already waved goodbye to MJ. You've waved goodbye to Hunter Renfroe. You started your phone call by correctly acknowledging that Waters and Rave and Lofton are doing their job. No one's sitting around waiting for Waters or Rave or Lofton to start running into a bunch of extra base hits. No one's sitting around doing that. Jonathan India, you're not expecting a bunch of extra base hits from him. You were from MJ. You needed some from Renfroe. And boy, were you ever banking on them from Michael Massey. So I think Massey's power potential, which has been nowhere to be found this season, I think that, coupled with the fact that he's the best defensive second baseman on this team, that's what's keeping him around. Sure, an illness for India. You know, he's always banged up. Possibly. But you look down to Omaha, and of course, people are clamoring for Cam Devaney, who's putting up an impressive line at AAA, no doubt. He can pick it as well. He was an impressive ball player in spring. But Cam Devaney doesn't have the upside of a Michael Massey. Team needs some pop. You can go out and add one via a trade. You can call up Jack Caglione. Still might need some more pop, right? You still need that Melendez, Massey, Renfrey. You need something. Rave's not providing it. They'll bring hustle. Lofton and Waters will get after it. They'll run through the bag. But they better run through the bag because that's why you're here. You don't have that extra base power, that consistent thump that you're looking for. Thanks for the phone call, man. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7965. You bring up Salvi and that's, I mean, the game-winning run, the only run of today's game. So if you missed it, it's the top of the third inning. Obviously, no score. Zach McKinstry falls behind Chris Bubich 0-2. Takes ball one. So now it's 1-2, and he gets a 92-mile-per-hour fastball belt high on the inner third, and he smokes it to the right field corner. An exit velo of 107, and McKinstry was thinking triple out of the gate. Again, this is why I'm talking so much about, you know, being this franchise, this Kansas City Royals franchise, a one-run loss hurts that much more when you lose because of defense and base running. When the other team's defense and base running was the difference maker, boy, that's going to sting. Defensive play by Will Vest in the ninth inning. A perfect, perfect throw by Jake Rogers to get John Rave trying to steal second in the fourth. And then, of course, the base running. McKinstry thinking three right out of the gates. And he arrives at third base with a leadoff triple. But Bubich is undeterred. He gets the next batter to ground out to the third baseman, holds the runner there, one out with the man still 90 feet away. No score, top of the third. Gleyber Torres is at the dish, and the 1-1 offering is a sweeper at the dirt. Salvi can't pick it, and the ball caroms almost to the Royals' dugout. Salvi gets out of his crouch, turns towards the ball that has rocketed towards the Royals' dugout. It's not in the dugout. It's still very much in play. Salvi assumed that McKinstry saw the ball in the dirt, saw the ball shoot towards the Royals' dugout. So Salvi, defeated, slowly starts walking towards the ball. Unfortunately, McKinstry did not get a read with the right-hander Gleyber Torres standing in the box. He was not coming home. Now, if Salvi breaks it towards the ball, slides, picks, I don't think McKinstry comes down. I don't think that run scores there. Now, Bubich would end up walking Gleyber Torres. So let's say Salvi makes the play. Let's say Salvi busts his tail, picks up that foul ball. McKinstry stays there. First and third with one out. Riley Green then took a 1-0 offering and just kind of hit a lob wedge to the opposite field into shallow left field. So maybe Riley Green would have played that run regardless. Royals lose 1-0. Who knows? Has Salvi earned the benefit of the doubt? I don't know. I would like to think so, but you know what? Let's hear what Salvi had to say after the game. Let's head inside that Royals clubhouse. The microphones of FanDuel Sports Network were there. Let's hear what Salvi had to say after this one.
So on the wild pitch, can you kind of walk us through that play?
Yeah, that was a song, man. You know, I think it's going to score right away. The ball gets to the end of the team, almost to the dugout. So I think it's when I told myself. So we don't realize it was too late.
So other than that, what do you think of
Rubic today?
How you
pretty good. The guy see what he do outside, you know. He's going to pick. He's one of the best in the game right now. So he picked really good today.
On the flip side of that,
how
frustrating is it about
being
able to back him up with some runs?
Frustration, you know. This game is about win or lose. At the end of the day, nothing we can do, you know. The game is over. Concentration, off day tomorrow, try to win the series in San Luis.
How challenging was it to face their starter and then their bullpen leaders in that game?
Pretty good. Every game. No matter who we play, you know, it can be Tiger, it can be San Luis, it can be Chicago, it can be anything. You need to play better, you know, start to score some wrong early in the game.
I know you guys are trying to work through this offensively. What are you seeing from everybody right now?
What do you see?
I know you guys are trying to work through this offensively. What are you seeing from...
They compete. We prepare ourselves every day. They compete, we're going to continue to compete every day. So hopefully everything changes soon.
Here you go. That's Salvi, courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network. He's not going to hide from it. He's not going to point a finger. He says, that's on me. Cops do it. I don't know what else there is to say. Are we going to crush Salvi? Do you think he... you lose 1-0. He says it's on him. All right, let's do it. This one's on Salvi. Fine. Okay. But like he says, he's going to turn the page and get ready to take on the Cardinals on Tuesday night. Simple as that, right? 913-586-7965. Royals lose 1-0. Salvi says the one run is on him. So loss number 29 on the season. We're laying at the feet of the captain. Makes for an easy postgame show. Take our final timeout. We're back with more after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Royals lose the finale, drop the rubber game to the Tigers. 1-0, the final score. I have no idea what the MVP air conditioning cool play of the game was. I guess maybe the final out that we heard earlier for Chris Bubich. Maybe it was that Drew, he didn't even catch it, but Drew Waters made a great effort smashing into the wall in right or in left field in foul territory. He didn't make the catch, but great effort, Drew Waters. Yeah, let's say that was today's cool play of the game. Brought to you by MVP Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. Get your AC ready for summer and running efficiently with a tune-up for only $39. Go to themvpkc.com or call 913-322-0868 today. MVP, one call does it all. Let's head back inside that Royals clubhouse and back to the microphones of FanDuel Sports Network. Let's hear what today's losing pitcher, I can't say that, Chris Bubich, 7 innings of one-run baseball. Let's hear from the lefty.
Kind of last couple games, been a little slow the first couple innings, but I think we... attack guys well, mix well, got ahead well. Didn't throw that 1-2 heater to McKinstry with a lot of conviction because I wasn't zoning the four seam very well early in the game. So I'll be honest, that was not my best heater, and he took advantage of it. And then overcooked the sweeper there a little bit in the dirt. To let him score, but otherwise I think, you know, like I said, we got ahead well, kept pitch count manageable each inning, and you know, defense, some clutch situations, Lofton turning double play, staying with that bat hop.
Lofton has a rocket over there at third base. Speaking of a rocket, Chris Bubich has 79 strikeouts in his first dozen starts. He's only the fourth Royals pitcher ever. Apier, Greinke, Reagans, Bubich? I'll talk to you all on Tuesday. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I appreciate you listening. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.